Easter. Today, we get to remember what you have done. Today, we get to praise you because of your victory, because of your sacrifice, because of your gift of life to us. Today is especially blessed because of where we are in the world right now. As the world suffers loss, sickness, and death, we need this reminder of hope, forgiveness, and life. Therefore, we thank and praise you, O God, for your goodness and faithfulness to us. We pray that today's message would bring you glory, not only in bringing your word to people, but in bringing people to you. God, may your will be done in the preaching of your word this day. Amen. If you have a copy of God's word, I'm going to ask you to please turn to Matthew chapter 28. We are going to be in Matthew 28. We're going to look at specifically verses 1 through 10 this morning. So go ahead and grab a Bible. I will have it on the screen with you, but I would love for you to follow along. Now here's the trick. To preach a sermon that nobody's ever heard before is super difficult, right? Especially for people who have been in the church for years and years. You know what's more difficult than that? What's more difficult than preaching a sermon that nobody's heard or a very obscure text, in my opinion, is preaching a text that tons of people have heard over and over and over again, because it begins to get kind of rote. We take it for granted, right? Today, I hope that we can look at this section of scripture, even if we've heard it 1,000 times before, that it will bless our hearts because it is true and God is good. So turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10 this morning. And if you could follow along with me, this is what God's word says. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Now, obviously, at this point in time, Jesus has already been crucified. That was Good Friday, right? And we call it Good Friday because of the sacrifice that Jesus was making on the cross. Not because it's good that he had to die, but it is good that he chose to die on our behalf, right? And so this is Sunday morning, right? And so the Sabbath was Saturday. This is Sunday in the dawn, the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now, this great earthquake, I believe, was caused as a means of waking people up and getting them to understand. Imagine with me, if you will, the scenario of these two women as they were going to the tomb. Perhaps you've been to funerals. Perhaps you've lost loved ones. It's never enjoyable. I don't care who the person was. Even if they were a really mean person in your life, you're not happy that they're dead, right? And this person was their beloved Savior, Jesus. This is the one that did so much for them and who loved them unconditionally. Think of Mary Magdalene, who's got that famous story in Scripture, right? And so they're on their way to this tomb, and they must be totally downcast and downhearted. They weren't able to go last night because it was the Sabbath, and so they weren't able to do this according to Jewish tradition. And so they were being faithful, obedient Jewish women, and so this time they're on their way. Can you imagine the sorrow with which they trod down that road on the way to this tomb? The heavy hearts of which they had? I tease my second son, Asher. Sometimes I say, you know, he's in his own little world. And I know he gets that from his mom. Sometimes she's in her own world. And I say, where are you? Where were you just now? Can you imagine these two women on this road to the tomb as they were in their own worlds, grieved and burdened by the sorrow that they're feeling as they're walking down there? And so this angel descends with a shake of the earth. And it's probably not only the shake of the angel appearing, but also the shake of this giant stone being just rolled out of the way. I can't imagine that he struggled at it. It was as easy as if it would be for us lifting a finger. And so this stone quickly rolls out of the way. And as we're going to go, it's not for Jesus' sake that it was rolled out of the way either. But here's what the scripture says. This angel descended from heaven, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. This angel just comes down, rolls it out of the way like it's no big deal, and then sits down as if at rest. He just sits there. And as we continue on in today's text, verse 3, his appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Think of the majesty of this angel. Just for a moment, try to put yourself there looking at this dazzling creature. Now, remember, Matthew is writing this from the eyewitness accounts. So you have these two women who have come back and now are telling this story. The best thing they can do is give a description of what his clothing was like. It says his appearance was like lightning. I love to watch storms. My brother-in-law and his wife have this really cool like Four Seasons or Three Seasons room with glass all around it. And I'm really jealous of that room because it looks so great to be able to watch storms from. And someday, if my wife and I ever have the ability to build a house and to put something like that up, I will do it because I love to sit out there in the darkness of the night and see the lightning flashing and hear the thunder pealing out there. And if you've ever seen that, a really majestic lightning storm, then you know what this looks like. Sometimes it's so bright in the night sky that it actually kind of burns that image into your eyes and you see it after it disappears, right? That idea of like a sunspot almost. This angel's appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. They can't really describe him, but they're doing their best. And then it says, and from fear of him, the guards trembled and they became like dead men. Now, I don't know. Okay. I'm not recommending this movie. So please don't send me emails and texts later about it. Okay. I'm not recommending this to you, but have you ever seen the movie Gladiator with Russell Crowe? I have. It's kind of an older movie at this point, which kind of makes me feel old, right? But if you've ever seen that movie, Russell Crowe in that movie is this gladiator, and it's during the Roman Empire and all these kind of things. These Roman soldiers are hard. They're like the Marines of our day, right? The few and the strong. These guys have seen some stuff. And by the way, Pontius Pilate, who was over this section, knowing that there was this big hubbub about Jesus, he wouldn't have just put, you know, Gomer Pyle, the Roman soldier, out there to guard the tomb. He would have put somebody who actually makes sense for this, okay? So he put two armed guards at this tomb. And these guys, their knees turn to jelly, and then they pass out, basically. That's the way I see it. They fell and became like dead men. They lost it. They couldn't handle this. And these are Roman soldiers who are here. And now you have to imagine the scene. These women are on the way to this tomb in their own world of grief and sorrow. Maybe they're even wearing black. They're carrying things with them, right? They're flowers maybe that they're going to lay at the gravesite. They have pockets full of tissues like we would. They're on their way. They've long since been walking in silence because they've been talking already. They've said whatever can be said, seeking to comfort one another, and they're on the way to this tomb. And you can picture it up ahead. They see the tomb and they see the soldiers, who are probably doing like any other soldiers. They don't love sitting here outside this empty tomb. It's kind of a bum deal that they've got. So they're standing there talking and shooting the breeze with one another, although they're keeping a watch on what they're doing. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the earth shakes. The stone rolls out of the way as if lighter than a feather. And on it sits an angel of the heavenly hosts. Of course, the soldiers feel the earth shaking, and as they turn in the auditory peal of this stone rolling away, they look and they see this angelic figure, and they freak out. And you have these two women who witness this whole thing. And in verse 5, the angel speaks to them. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Now, like it or not, here's what we have to understand. Part of what gives this word its authority is who the witnesses were. In this time, women were not seen as credible witnesses. And praise God that has changed for us, right? But these women are the first ones who see this. They're the first ones who were told of this. And that actually gives credibility to the story, because back then Matthew, if he wanted to make you believe something, he would have put men into the story. But the angel says to the women, "Do not be afraid." That is what these soldiers needed to hear. That is exactly what the soldiers' problem was. They were so scared, they passed out for fear. Their knees became weak and they fell. But he says to these women, "Do not be afraid." Do you know why they don't need to be afraid? He says, "Don't be afraid because I know who you seek. I know you seek Jesus. You don't have to be afraid from this messenger of God, because he knows whose team you're playing for. He knows who you want. He knows who you're there looking for." And also look in the text, it says that they are seeking Jesus. And he says, and no mistake about it, historically either, "I know who you seek, Jesus, who was crucified." The one who was crucified, the one who was slain. This is super, super important how this works out and how Matthew lays this out for us in this next verse. Now, all of this that we've just covered is the setup for what I really want to talk with you about today. So most of our time that we're going to spend together this morning is going to be in verse 6, okay? And then we'll close it all out. But set this scene in your mind and understand that these women are standing there, probably mouth agape, cowering at first before the angel speaks, looking at him in his majesty as the tomb is open, as these Roman soldiers are passed out on the ground. "Don't be afraid, because I knew who you seek, Jesus, the one who is crucified." And then here's what he says in verse 6. "He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." There's three things that I want to point out to you from today's text, from this verse. Three things that I really want for us to wrap our mind around and really meditate on this Easter. The first is this. The angel said, "He is not here." Why does that matter? It matters because of where he's at, where he's standing. He is sitting on the entrance of a grave site. If you've been to Allegan Bible Church times before, or if you've never been here, I'm going to tell you a little bit about us, right? We are located right across the street from a cemetery. Right across the street from a cemetery. And as I work in my office, I will often hear the sound of earth movers over in the cemetery opening up grave sites so that they can put in bodies, put in caskets. If you go over to that cemetery right now today, you'll see gravestone upon gravestone upon gravestone, hundreds of them in there. Every single one of them with a name or two names. Some of them are couples buried together. And every single one of them, if you were to get that backhoe and to dig out the soil and to lift up that casket, do you know what you would find? Bones. You would find human remains. The first reason we need to understand why he says this to them is because he wants them to know, listen, Jesus isn't in the grave. He isn't in this tomb. Everything in our life that we have ever experienced would point us to think that this tomb would be rolled away and Jesus' body would be laying right there. Jesus did not need the tomb door to be opened by the angel to leave the tomb. He wasn't there. That's what the angel's pointing out. You're seeking Jesus. He's not here. The second reason that matters is because he's talking about a literal gravesite, right? The second part is this. We as Christians, were you upset that we couldn't meet together today? I know I was. I long to see you. I miss you guys. I cannot wait for the day that we can gather together. I was talking to somebody on the phone just recently, and I said, look, I'm going to need to make sure that we have extra tissues, because when we finally get together, there's not going to be a dry eye in the house. We are all going to be weeping. We're all going to be hugging each other. Maybe not right away, because we're still going to have that fear that we could maybe transmit something, right? But like, how sweet will it be when we can finally gather together? So I just want to encourage you, please don't make video viewing a habit. We need the local body of believers. We have to be with one another. Hebrews talks us about that. We to function as the body, you can't have your hand cut off and have it still function as a part of the body. It needs to be attached to it. And so, but we're upset that we couldn't meet together. We're upset that we couldn't meet together because it's Easter. But you know what? The message that the angel gave to those two women is the same message that I might have for you today. Don't be upset that we can't meet in this building. Do you know why? He's not here. Jesus isn't determined to a physical location. Jesus is with you right now. If you're sitting on the couch in your living room, if you're still watching in bed, if you're sitting at the kitchen table, perhaps you're on your phone. I don't know, and it doesn't matter to me, because Jesus knows exactly where you are at this very moment. That's the whole point of his resurrection. He is no longer constrained by the physical bodily norms that he took on. He is not here. He's not in this building. He's not constrained by walls and pews and pulpit. We need not be in a church building to experience Jesus. He's not in the grave, and he's not in a building. He's wherever he wants to be. He's no longer constrained by this. In fact, since he's fully God and fully man, he is everywhere. He's with me and with you and with your next door neighbor who is also listening to a sermon, possibly this one, maybe another one. But the fact of the matter is he's not here. We as Christians don't have to be upset that we can't meet together on Easter Sunday at one particular building, because we can always meet with Jesus. Remember, the media said that we're alone together? We're never alone if we know Jesus. We're always together as a body of believers. Will he ever leave us or forsake us? No, not even to the end of the age, let alone something like the coronavirus. He's not here. He's not in this building. But even more than that, because he's God, he can be all places and do all things. But the other part that the angel, I think, was talking about is he's not here. He's not even any more constrained to this earth. Jesus is at the right hand of God. And if this was the only statement, if it ended right here, can you imagine the sadness of this statement for these women? Can you imagine the sadness of this statement for us? If it just ended I know you're seeking Jesus, the one who was crucified, but he's not here. If that was it, well, then what would be the point? I would say that I almost said we can all go home, but guess what? We're already home, right? We can never meet together again. We could just hang all the whole thing up. Because just because Jesus isn't here, that's not the end of the story. So the second part that he said here is he is risen as he said. Do you see that in the text? He's not here. He's not in the grave. He's not constrained to this place. He's not even necessarily on this earth anymore. Where is he? He is raised as he said he would be. He is raised. So firstly, we must see that he has risen from the dead. I think it was Paul who wrote this, that if Jesus is still in the grave, then our religion, our faith is based on nothing. It's pointless. Because if Jesus wasn't raised from the grave, then we ourselves, we have no hope. We have no peace. We have no assurity. He's not here. He is risen from the dead. Jesus is alive. I hope you out there just gave me an amen and scared your dog again, right? But also, he is risen not only to life. Remember what we said, he is risen to the right hand of God. He is no more going to experience affliction and persecution. He no longer needs to suffer for our penalties. He no longer needs to experience the woes of humanity. In his perfected body, he still chose to keep the scars in his hands and the scar in his side as proof, as evidence that the resurrection, that the sacrifice on the cross paid for us. It would be visual, physical, eternal evidence. Think of a courtroom that you would go into and they say, you know, I would like to give you exhibit A or exhibit B. And so they present this physical evidence for what has happened. Jesus in his perfected body is now keeping in his flesh the scars on him that is evidence of the physical death that he died for us. And now he isn't here. He is risen. He has risen to the right hand of the Father of God. He has risen in glory to sit at his right hand, victorious. Why has he risen? He has risen to intercede on our behalf. He has risen so that he can continuously, day and night, sit by the Father's side making intercessions for you. He has risen, and this blew my mind when I first heard this, and I don't know chapter and verse, and I apologize for that. But towards the end here, after his resurrection, he appears to the disciples and he says, look, I'm going to go, and it's better that I go. Jesus says this to his disciples, it's better for you that I go, because when I do, I'm going to send my Spirit, and that's going to be better for you. And I'm thinking, if I was a disciple, especially a guy like Peter, right? Man, you just died, and now you're back here, and now you're telling us you're going to leave again? How in the world is that better? But Jesus is not here. He's not here. He's raised, and he's raised to the right hand of the Father. And because he is raised, he can now send that Holy Spirit upon all of those who would be his. That God's Spirit can dwell in and can enter into our own hearts and dwell with us. That is part of the good news of this Resurrection Sunday. That Jesus has raised to glory to intercede on our behalf, and that he sent his Spirit to dwell with us then. He has risen to judge, though, too. Jesus hasn't just risen to intercede on our behalf, but he's risen to judge. Beloved, one day Jesus is coming again. One day Jesus will raise everybody from the dead. One day Jesus will judge those who are living and those who have passed away. One day, as Jesus sits on his throne, he will separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares. Jesus has raised, not only to intercede on our behalf, yes, absolutely, but that we should take that for granted, to just allow him to intercede and trample on his blood that he died in the first place, may it never be. And so the question I might have is, the angel said, he's not here, he's risen. But has he risen in your life? Has he risen in your heart? Does his resurrection make any real difference to the way that you live your life day to day? If ever there is a time in history where we have been alive that his resurrection should make a difference, it is now. It is during this time. If Jesus is raised from the dead, then we have joy, hope, peace. We have a mission. We have an opportunity. But if Jesus has not raised from the dead, then what's the point? If Jesus hasn't raised from the dead, then we have no hope. We have no peace. But beloved, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, that's the second part of the second point, that he's risen as he said. Listen, you can believe who he is so that we can believe what he said. Jesus told his disciples before this that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to raise from the dead. He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees who hated him. He told them. He said, listen, you're going to destroy this temple, and 3 days later, I'm going to raise it again. And they thought he was crazy. They thought he was talking about the actual physical temple. Jesus was talking about his body. Jesus told them, this is what the Son of Man came to do. This is why Palm Sunday is so weird, that he rode into this city of Jerusalem like this, like a king coming into his victory. They did not understand the kind of victory that he was talking about at all. What king in the history of the world has experienced victory through the death of his own self? None but Jesus alone. It is Jesus, our Lord and King. He has risen as he said he would, and therefore we can believe what he says. We can believe that he tells us all it takes is faith as small as a mustard seed. We can believe when he tells us that he will give us peace that surpasses all understanding. We can believe him when he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. We can believe him when he says that all those who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We can believe him when he says that, beloved, one day he will come again and he will gather his church into his arms and he will bring us to be with him in heaven and we will experience a feast with him and there will be no more death and no more suffering and no more shedding of tears. Jesus is not here. He is risen, as he said, because he is faithful and true. And all their scriptures find their yes in Christ. So that we can believe. The last part of this verse that I really want to hammer home with us today is, then the angel gives an invitation to these women. He gives the invitation to come and see. Come and see the place where he lay. Come and see. So I want to invite you, come and see. Come and see that he is alive, that he is not here, that he was raised. Come and see that he is faithful and he is true. But let's talk about this. Come and see just for a moment. What are some things that he wanted them to come and see? He wanted them to come and see that this tomb was real, that these rags that he left there were real, that this wasn't a dream. Come and see, beloved, that our Lord and Savior will protect us and shepherd us. We can fear no evil, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you know why? Because he's been there. Come and see that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has went before us as the first fruits. Why should we fear death when it is our God who went before us? Why should I fear death when it is my shepherd that leads me through it, having been there before? Come and see that there is a real grave, that there is a real death. Come and see that it is really empty. Come and see that he no longer has died. Come and see that he's truly not there. For those of us who are skeptics, Jesus says the same thing. Ask, seek, knock. Thomas, remember? Thomas, stick your fingers in the holes of my hands. Put your hand in my side, brother. You believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who have never seen. But he doesn't turn us away. He offers us the invitation to come and to see. Come and see that Jesus is alive. Come and see the peace that he offers. Come and see the forgiveness that he gives. Come and see the hope that is found in him. Come and see that he offers you to lay your burdens down. Come and see that you must suffer guilt no longer. Come and see that he has a hope and a plan and a future for you. Come and see that he died so that we can live. He says, come and see the place where he lay. Beloved, let us marvel at our holy God who has humbled himself to the point of taking on flesh and then taking on a cross. And then he became sin who knew no sin. He became the very thing that God hates so that we might experience love, so that we might experience forgiveness, so that we might experience salvation and hope and peace. Beloved, marvel at this King of Heaven who came in humble servanthood, even to the point of laying himself in the grave. And then come and see him who lives and reigns on high. Come and see him who no other name can match, who all knees will bow, who every tongue will confess, every tribe and nation under heaven will come and will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And they will do this either out of reverence and love and adoration, or they will do this with scorn and gravel in their throats. But come and see. As we close this next verse, it says, then he tells them what to do. He says, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. Beloved, how will people know that Jesus is raised unless we tell them? How will they know to come and see unless we invite them? How will they hear unless we tell them? Scripture says, beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. These lowly women, Mary Magdalene, of whom demons were cast out, will be the catalyst, will be used by God to deliver this good news of the resurrection, the first herald of the gospel. Do you understand that he will use even you if you will let him? That there is no filth, there is no worthlessness in you that is too deep, that is too dark, that he can't clean you up and use you for his kingdom and for his glory, that you, even you, can be a herald of this good news today for the rest of your life? That neither height nor depth or anything that lays between can separate you from the love of Christ, and that can take away this message that he wants you to go and to tell. And so the same would be true. I have told you. Just as they were commissioned, I've done it. I've told you. I've told you Jesus is alive. Jesus is raised from the dead. Jesus is the King and the Lord on high. Jesus has taken sin and death captive as he lay in the tomb. Jesus has taken sin, all of it, on the cross, and he has taken death. Come and see. I have told you, beloved, I pray that you might receive it. And so maybe you're asking the question, Lord, I want to believe, but help my unbelief. Perhaps like the first church in Acts, what must I do to receive this salvation? I hope that that's where you're at today. What can I do to be saved? How do I become a Christian? How do I come and see? Pastor, tell me. I want to know. And I want to be able to tell you. And I can only do that by using God's word, because there's no power in me. So as we continue, let's look at these next verses who tell us exactly how we can receive this good news. If you're asking today on this Easter, I can think of no better time in the history of mankind, but to receive this now than in a time where pestilence is striking the world as God's wake-up call to us people, for us to know we must bend the knee to Christ either now or out of subjugation, out of choice or forcefulness. This is what he says. I hope that you are ready. Verses 8 and 9, he says, so then depart quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. They ran to tell his disciples, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Here's how you can receive salvation. Firstly, repent. Leave the place of death. Leave your sin. Leave your old Adam, the one who died to sin. Leave him at the gravesite. Leave him at the tombs. This is what they said. They departed quickly from the tomb. They left the place of death. They left it there and they never returned. Do you know why? Because Jesus wasn't there. They left there and never went there. You know why? Because that's not where living people go. The gravesite is for those who have died. Flee then. Flee the tomb. Repent. Receive salvation. Leave this land of death. Repent and turn. Repentance is just a fancy word that means we were going one direction and we're going to turn 180 degrees and now go the other direction. You were following yourself and now you're going to follow Christ. That's what repentance means. Leave in fear as they did. Leave because of fear, because you know that you are guilty before a holy God, that you agree with his statutes and his standards. Leave because you are aware that at any moment you could pass from this life into eternity, and then it becomes appointed for a man to die once, and then after that is judgment. So says God's word. Leave because you are aware that of the guiltiness and the deception of your own heart. But then also, beloved, leave not only because of fear, leave because of joy. Leave because of the joy of knowing that Jesus is not here. He is raised just as he says he is. Come and see the place where he lay. And now come and see the place where he sits in heaven on high. Leave out of fear and leave out of joy and run, run, run as you were. And then also it says here, behold, Jesus met them. Meet with Jesus. You can't just repent from something on your own. You must have him. Meet with Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Ask for Jesus. Plead with Jesus. And then thirdly, take hold of his feet. Worship him as Lord. Cling to Christ, never to let go again. Jesus does not turn them away. Rather, Jesus greets them. You know, when he was on the cross, his arms were stretched out wide, not with upturned palms to stop people from coming to them, but rather arms outstretched to welcome weary sinners. That we can come to the cross of Christ, and we can come then also to the resurrected King. We can grasp him at his feet and worship him as Lord. And he will tell us, greetings, welcome, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. And so if you want to receive salvation, if you want to know how you can receive this King who is alive, that is how. Repent and believe. Leave the land of death. Meet with Jesus and worship him as the risen King. And Jesus will tell you the same thing. He said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. If you want Jesus, he will enter in and he will call you brother. No longer will you be an enemy of God. Rather, you will be a son of God Most High. Do you want forgiveness? Do you want everlasting life? Do you want Jesus? If you do, I would like to invite you to pray with me this prayer. You can join with me as I pray. God in heaven, I recognize the truth and authority of your word. I agree with your holy statutes and standards. I admit the guilt of my sin against you. Today, Lord Jesus, I ask for your forgiveness. Today, I ask for reconciliation with you. Today, I ask that Jesus would be my personal Savior, O Father. I know that the guilt of my sin cannot be paid for or covered by anything that I can do. It has to be you, Jesus. It has to be your blood. It has to be your sacrifice, O Lord. God, I plead with you for your forgiveness that you offer through the blood of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe that by faith in him, you will save me. I thank you for offering me the risen Christ. I thank you for inviting me to come and to see. I thank you for offering me this forgiveness. And God, today I want to receive it. Help me to continue to follow after you. God, help me to seek you. Help me to continue to repent and to know you more. Help me to die to my old life. Help me to live for you. God, give me your Holy Spirit to dwell within me, to change and to clean me from the inside out. Thank you, my God and King. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen, my Father. Amen. Beloved, if that was you, if you prayed that prayer this morning, I want to invite you. I want to tell you, firstly, welcome to the family. Welcome, brother or sister in Christ. Welcome, because he says, all those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. And so if this was you this morning, if you just prayed this prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. Second thing I want to offer you to do is please read the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. If you have a Bible, look it up in the table of contents. Read through the book of Ephesians. Understand the grace and the peace that we have in Christ Jesus. Read the book of Ephesians. Secondly, please reach out to Allegan Bible Church. Post on this. Let us know that you have made this decision. Do not be afraid of man. Stand in the gap. Stand up for Jesus. Herald your decision to follow after him. I challenge you, stand up for Christ. And then lastly, get in touch with us. Message us privately, send us an email, give us a phone call. Let us know so that we can help you in your next steps, so that we can help you build a relationship with Jesus, so that we can get you plugged into a local church. If that's Allegan Bible Church, wonderful. If it's a local church by wherever you live, then that's great too. But we want to help you become a follower of Jesus. So please reach out and let us know. God bless you. I praise the Lord that you have made the decision for him today. And I want to say congratulations and welcome home, beloved. For those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior already, I would like for you to join with me as we close out today's Easter message in prayer. So please join with me together. O God, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. As we have spent time looking at your word this morning, we recognize that Easter, the celebration of Jesus' resurrection, is a joyous and yet fearful truth. For if Jesus was raised from the dead, he is Lord. And if he is Lord, that means we must give an account for our lives, for our sin, and submit to his judgments over us. We must come to grips with our need for a Savior and our depravity before a holy God who would require such a sacrifice as your own Son on our behalf. Oh, the reckoning this must bring upon our hearts. However, God, for everyone who knows you as Lord and has received you as Savior, we have this blessed hope that you are God. You never lie. You never worry. You are over all things. And even the grave cannot stop us when you are ours. Thank you for the hope and the peace that we have in you. Thank you for the salvation that you have wrought in us. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus, this great and glorious good news that we so often love to hear. It never gets old to us, God, and we know even the angels long to look into this mystery that is God dying for man. Thank you, Lord Jesus, who came to die that we might live, and who lives on high, that we might come to be with you, that we might have life and have it abundantly. Therefore, as we wait for you to come again, we, your bride, cry, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. I want to thank you so much for joining us this Easter. I pray that you would have been blessed by this message that he is risen, and he is risen indeed. God bless you all. We hope to see you next week.